Praise the Lord. How many know that we can't let the devil get us down?
Amen. He tries.
Try to get my thoughts together. How many know we're in a battle? And we did have a victory. But every time you got a victory, how many of you know the enemy's going to rise up? He's going to fight. The enemy and all his followers are not happy. For 50 years, they had their way. We've seen how unhappy they were when they were protesting some of our Supreme Court members. We've seen the mobs out there again. But I want you to know that we have a challenge coming. We have a challenge coming as individuals, and we have a challenge coming as a church. All these years we stood up and stood against abortion. But then I see pastors that are out there coming against and coming for abortion. I just listened to an individual by the name of Reverend Locke this last week. My son-in-law sent me it. And he was encouraging the church that we need to keep on keeping on. We need to keep praying. We need to keep seeking the Lord, because there's battles coming. And it's great that some states have already made the decision to honor what the Supreme Court has done. But that's just one battle. There's many battles that are coming up in these last days. We're in a pressure cooker. How many know what a pressure cooker is? Have you ever seen one blow up? Yeah. I mean, I remember one time when my mother had a pressure cooker and was gone, and it was gone, and she, I don't know what she had in it, but it went boom in the kitchen. Sounded like a bomb going off, you know, and everybody ran to the kitchen to see what was going on. And then everybody ran out because of a big mess. And that's where we are. We're in a pressure cooker. It's ready to explode. It's a big mess. A big mess. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. our soon coming King. I ask, Lord, for your anointing here this morning. Because anything I say could be just words. But Lord, the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And I pray, Lord, for that anointing on my life right now and upon the message that I have before me, that I feel that you have placed in my hands. But I can only share what you want to be shared. If it's 10 minutes, that's it. If it's 30 minutes, that's it. I don't have to preach no hour. I don't have to preach a long time. Because your Holy Spirit can do more in a few minutes than a few seconds than I can do in all the preaching I've ever done. So I give you praise, Father. I praise you for your presence, because you said, where two or more are gathered together, you are there also. So I know that you are here. You're here with us to minister to us through your Spirit, to touch our lives, to lift us up, to encourage us. And God, I give you praise and glory and honor. I ask for your anointing to fall in this congregation and touch each life. Because you see, Father, I know we cannot receive from you unless there's an anointing in our life to receive what you have. So God, I give you praise and glory and honor as I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In his name I ask it. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, rejoice to the extent that you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Man, what took place on the cross of Calvary? Some of us miss out. You know, we know it's a package deal. And by a package deal, I mean that not only was remission of sin through the shed blood of Christ, but it was also healing at the cross of Calvary. Healing. And you know, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you the question this morning. What does it mean to be Pentecostal as an individual? And what does it mean to be Pentecostal as a church? Do you ever stop and think about that? What does it mean? First of all, it means I believe in the whole Bible, rightly divided. Amen? Second of all, I believe in what Jesus said when he said, "I send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you." Praise God. That's what makes me a Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal because I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe in the nine gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. I believe in all of this. That's what makes me a Pentecostal. But the other thing that makes me a Pentecostal is that I learn to walk in the Spirit and do as the Spirit wants me to do. I had to learn many years ago in the ministry that God, I could never figure out, well, God, why did you give me a message Why did you give me a message? And then I go to preach that message, and you changed me altogether. Why do you do that, Lord? Why do you change direction? And I'm sharing this with you so that we can come to understand that we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, amen, in our lives to lead and guide us, even in our everyday journey, no matter what we're doing, outside or inside the church. Well, one day I was praying, and God told me, in the Spirit, as I was kneeling at the altar praying, I asked that same question again, and he probably got tired of me asking that question. Because the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and said, it's because the devil had been watching you read and study that message all week long. He knew what you were going to preach, and he was preparing the people to block it that needed the message from God. I thought, okay, Lord, you're a lot smarter than I am. And you know what? I have found out that when I change messages sometimes because the Spirit led me. And what I'm getting at is we are living in a time that we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need the Word. We need Jesus Christ. We need a move of the Spirit of God in our lives. Not only in our lives, but in our church. Because you see, I'm sitting here on oxygen. Can God heal me? Yes. I've been asked the question, do you believe in divine healing? I said, yes. Do you believe God could heal you right now? Yes. Guess what the next question was? Why aren't you healed? Well, I'll tell you what. If you want the answer to that, ask God. I can't give you the answer to that. But I know the Word says, I am healed, and I was healed at the cross of Calvary. It was done. It was finished. I got to walk in the Spirit and receive what God has. And so we're in a pressure cooker. We're in a time that we need to really learn to trust God and be led by the Holy Spirit. We are living in a pressure cooker. Each day brings... It's going to bring new adventures, and we may not like them. And with each adventure comes problems. How many of you know that? I know Jerry goes out on his job in these houses to do work. And he walks in, and they said one thing. And when he gets there, how many times have you found something else, Jerry? A new adventure. He's gone in. He didn't know what was going to be there. He thought he knew what was going to be there. And that's the same way in our lives. When we get up every morning, we think we know what we're going to be doing. But we need to trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need to trust the Spirit speaking to our hearts. We need to start the day. How? Prayer. Ask God's guidance. Ask God's leadership. You know, oppression comes from Satan himself. Oppression doesn't come from God. Disease and sickness doesn't come from God. That all comes from Satan. And when we're oppressed, we're depressed, however pressed we are, we have an advocate with our Father. And his name is what? Jesus Christ. He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. Trials are going to come. They're going to happen. We are, if I may say it this way, we're imperfect people living in an imperfect world. And in that, trials are going to come. Battles are going to meet us on the front lines. They're surrounding us sometimes. How many ever felt just overwhelmed with everything that happened? You just didn't know the answer. That's when we need to hit our knees and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. When we let down our guard, the devil, he is ready to come in. Oh, when we don't pray like we should or read the word like we should, we're opening the door for the devil to come right in and try to put us down. And he comes in sometimes just like a vice. You know, he just squeezes us more and more and more. And we feel like sometimes there's no way out. No way out. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. There is a way out. Sometimes God doesn't answer the way we want Him to answer. How many know what I'm talking about? We're looking for God to answer one way, and He comes around the back door and does something else. And when it's all done and said and done, it's what we needed. Amen? My youngest son was born with a heart murmur. Spent 15 days in the hospital. Born premature. The only thing we got from the doctor was, well, when he gets old enough, we're going to have to do surgery. And so that went on. As he got older, we go back, and the doctor said, well, it's nothing really bad right now. We'll just, you know, and so we just kept, every time evangelists come to the church, every time we had prayer, we had them anoint our son and pray for him and pray for him. He was prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and didn't seem to be getting any better. And go to the doctor would say, well, when he gets this age. That went on to the time he got into high school. He got into high school, and I'm showing you sometimes how God works. We were praying for a complete healing of his heart. Well, guess what? I went to the altar one time. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I believe in healing. I believe in divine healing. I believe that, that Jesus Christ shed his blood for healing. Why is my son not being healed? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, is he getting any worse? Boy, that hit me. Is he getting any worse? He wrestled in high school, did sports, never had a problem. He's 53, 54 years old. Still never had no problem. Don't take anything. I'm going to tell you, God's work is complete. And it may not be the way we want it to be. But he never, never had to have a surgery that they said he would have to have. So what I'm trying to do, I use that as an example. We're running in some perilous times and we don't understand what's coming down the road. Sometimes we've got to change our view of our problems, how we're looking at a problem. We need to recognize where the problem is coming from and what's the start of the problem. And I believe 90% of our problems comes from old Slewfoot himself, trying to interrupt our life, trying to put us down, trying to stop us from going ahead, trying to stop us from praying, trying to stop us from reading the Word, trying to stop us from serving God. We need to realize that God is bigger. How many believe that? That God's bigger than any problem on this earth. Anything that's going on this earth. He's the creator of all things. There's nothing in existence that God has not created and don't know about. He knew all the oil was in the earth. He knew the gold was in the earth. He knew the silver was in the earth. He knew all that. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory. Sorry. If you do, well, take it up with the Lord. But I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory. I think God spoke everything into existence. And we need to recognize that God is bigger. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And sometimes we do take on the battle of flesh and blood. But we need to understand where that problem is coming from. If it's a person that's coming against us, what is causing that person to act like that? So we understand we're not wrestling against that person. We're not wrestling against it. We are wrestling against the evil gods of high places and principalities and powers that are out there trying to destroy you and trying to destroy me, trying to destroy the church. We need to count it all joy. Oh, that's hard. You can ask my wife. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes wheeling this around, it's not all joy. Sometimes it's not all joy trying to get my breath sometimes. It's not all joy. But the Bible says, I need to count it all joy. The joy of the Lord. James 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord, are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brother." Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, we don't want that. Oh, man. I don't want to be tried. I just want to go along on a smooth road. Amen. And nothing happening. Then I'm going to tell you, as long as you're walking this earth, the prince of this world, who is Satan, is going to bring trials and tribulations into your life. He's going to battle you. He's going to battle you. And you see, with faith, trying of all your faith, work in patience, but let the patience have her perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. I don't know what God has in store. I don't know what He has in store for me down the road. I've been told by my daughter when she was here a while back, and we were praying. She said, and the Spirit of the Lord came on her. She said, "Dad, God's not done with you yet." Okay, Lord, if you're not done with me yet, well, you got to sure enough do something quick. That's the same way with Betty, Tony. We're here because God's not done with us. Are you hearing me? You're here today. You may ask the question, why? Somebody else that you know has gone on to be with the Lord. And Lord, they were younger than me and all this and never had a problem. What's going on? Because God has something for you. God is not done with you, no matter who you are. Whether you can get on the phone and talk to people or pray for people, whatever God instills in your life. We're in a battle, church. Do you really realize that? I mean, it looks so smooth, and we're rejoicing in what just happened in the Supreme Court. And praise God, I praise God for it. I thank God the 60-some million babies that were killed through abortion. Stop and think about that. 60-some million babies have died through abortion. It could have been the next president, for all I know, or senators, or politicians, or doctors, lawyers, whatever. Could be the carpenter you need to call for your house. Praise God. We need to praise the Lord for what God's doing, even though it took 50 years to do it. We need to praise God for it. It's God's time. There's a reason why this ruling came down at the time that we're living. There is a reason for it. God has a reason for everything He does. And it's to what? To cause the body of Christ to grow and go ahead. And for the church to become ready and prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, the soon coming King. Preparing us. The devil wants to steal your faith. How many of you know that? He wants to take your faith away from you. He wants to bombard you with problems. He wants to destroy you if he can. So quit believing in God. Quit having faith in God. And when we go through trials, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, material, whatever it may be, he's battling us. He's battling us. And you know what? He don't care about you. He does not care about you one iota. He doesn't give a hoot or a holler about you. All he wants to do is to take you to hell with him. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going to end up in the fiery lake of fire. He knows what's going to happen. He's read the book. He knows the book. He knows the Bible better than all of us do. He knows what it says. And so he don't care about you. He don't care about your suffering. He don't care about your pain. But we have one that does, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He went to the cross. He cares. He cares about where we are. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about our hurts, our pains, our struggles, our sufferings. He cares about it all. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us whatever we go through. The three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were in the fiery furnace. They wouldn't deny God. They would not deny God. And they heated up the furnace 7 times greater than what it was ever done. Those that threw them in the fire got scorched, burned, and died because of the heat of the fire. But when the king looked into the fire, he said, "Didn't we throw 3 in there? There's 4th one in there, likened unto God." They weren't scorched, Tony. They didn't smell like fire. They came out of it. Hallelujah. God, if he can bring the Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, don't you believe that he can bring us out of our situations? Because his word promises it. We need to trust him. Mark 4:14-16 says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they that are the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are those likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." It's the same with them. They let it fall on stony ground. Is our heart right? Is it right to hear the word, trust God? Faith is a powerful force. The Bible tells me that faith can move mountains. Faith can move obstacles in your life. But with that faith, how many of you know that with the faith, you have to have an anointing with it also? There has to be an anointing on your faith. How do I get that? I can believe the word, but I got to pray and seek God for the power that I may enter into the Holy of Holies, because the partition was torn down from the top to the bottom, that I could enter in. Hallelujah! Glory to God! You can enter in. I can enter in. Any one of us can enter in to the Holy of Holies, to the presence of the Almighty God. Jesus Christ sings to that. So there's no problem, no problem too big for God. Nothing, nothing can hinder us from going into His presence. I heard people say, I just can't reach God. Then I say, you're not pushing hard enough. Are you hearing me this morning? 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Hallelujah. By faith I stand. Fear is the opposite of faith. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, hallelujah. Love and a sound mind. Where do we stand today? There's a pressure cooker out there. There's a battle coming for you, for me. I don't know how the devil's going to come, but I know he's upset. Oh, he's upset. All the demons in hell, he's talking to them. He's telling them. He says, how could we let this happen? How could this happen? I know how it happened. We've got a God in heaven who knows what has to be done. And when it's time, He'll do it. He'll do what He has. Be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8-9. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. Get your heart right with God. Every morning, get your heart right with God. Because you don't know what battle is going to come up out there. You don't know what fiery dart is going to be thrown at you. You don't know what's going to happen. But God does. And He's prepared. He's ready to hear your voice, to hear you cry out. He's ready to hear you say, God, I've got this going on. I need your help. I need you. I need you. God, I need you. Help me. Quote the scriptures. He that is within you is what? Greater than he is within this world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And the things that God has meant for evil, the devil meant for evil, God will turn around for good. That's what the Word says. Stand on the Word. Believe the Word. Trust the Word. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you are condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Recognize the enemy's tactics. He tries to bring Christians against each other. He tries to bring churches against each other. And that's... if he can destroy a relationship, he's happy. Recognize the enemy's attacks. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If we're ignorant of his devices, he'll take advantage of the situation in our lives. Resist the devil. The Bible says in James 4:7, put an end of all things is at hand. Be ye there sober and watch. What? Unto prayer. Be sober. Be ready. Pray it. Resist the devil. The scripture tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. He'll flee from you. Resist him. But sometimes what do? We waller in self-pity. We waller in the things that's coming against us. It's like we take a bath in it. You know, all the poor, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. God, are you there? Poor me, poor me. Instead of saying, Satan, I rebuke you. I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus Christ, leave. Get out of here. Leave me alone. And just praise God that it's done. Fight the good fight. The good fight of faith. Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed good profession before many witnesses. Believe the word, Psalms 37, 3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What a promise. What a promise from God. Hebrews 5:6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to understand what God's doing. In all your ways, in everything that you're doing, make sure you acknowledge God. I'm here because I acknowledge God in my life. You're here today because you acknowledge God in your life. Things you're doing in the day, I acknowledge you, God, you're in this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on, but I acknowledge you're here. And it says, He, who is he? God shall direct your path. He'll direct your path. He'll show you the way. Have you ever been blindsided and you didn't know why? And things weren't going right? Did you ever call out and say, God, what's going on? Show me the way. Show me the way. Go through the doors that God opens, and those he closes, don't try to kick them down. Do the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he'll lead you. And trust in him. Confess the word. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Something to think about that. Some of the things we say, it says we're going to eat the fruit of it. But if we say it, then we must love it. Are you out there? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This says you're going to eat the fruit of the words you speak. So be careful we don't put ourselves in jeopardy. Matthew 12:36-37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak concerns claims of righteousness which does not exist, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Makes me think. Some of the stupid things I've said. How many know what I'm talking about? Things we say that comes out of our mouths. We need our mouth washed with soap. Have you ever got your mouth washed with soap? I did. I think they used the whole bar on me. We need to clean up our talk. Amen? Act on the word. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers of the word. Come to church, you hear the word, you go home, you apply it to your life. Only receiving your own selves, it says. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. You can have all the faith in the Lord. All the faith. I believe the word, I believe this. But if you're not doing something, if you're not having some works applied with your faith and what you believe. I believe God's a healer. So God, I'm coming to you. I want to put my faith to work. I believe God's a healer. So I want to pray for others. I think of Peter and John going up to the temple with the lame man that was there. And he was crying out for alms. He said, alms, alms. And they said to him, silver or gold have I not, but what I have, I give to you, rise and walk. What did they have? They had Jesus Christ living in them. They had the power of God living in them. Inside of them, dwelling the Holy Spirit and the healing power. They said, what I have, I give to you. Share your faith. Share your word. Share the word of God. Make a stand. As I close, it says, you will not want if you learn to operate in the word and you trust God's word. To live a fulfilled life in Christ, you must act on that which you know to be the truth of the word. In the middle of trials, there is a calm. Just like in the middle of a tornado, it said, there's a calm. How many of you know that there's right in the middle, there's a calm. In the middle of our trials sometimes, when we're praying and seeking God, there can become a peace and a calm. There can be joy in every situation if we learn to walk in the Word and to fear and not fear the unknown. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. How many knows what tomorrow is going to bring? I have no idea. I don't know what this afternoon is going to bring. I have no idea what in the next hour what's going to happen. But I do know I can't fear it. I can't fear what's going on in our country. I can't fear what's happening because fear will take and tear me down and destroy my faith. Because my faith is not in what can go on in this country. And my faith is in what God can do in this country by trusting Him and believing Him. But to rely on God and be patient, remember, patience brings contentment. And in contentment, we will find the peace of God. In closing with that, I pray. I challenge you. I challenge you to pray for our church, that God will lift us up, encourage us. I pray for you to, I ask you to pray for the body of Christ, because God wants, yeah, when God's coming back for the church, He's coming back for the body of Christ without a spot or a blemish. He's coming back. Church, He's coming back. And I believe we're going to see it in our lifetime. It's going to happen. I may be wrong. That's just me. But He's coming back. And He's coming back for that church that doesn't have a spot or a blemish. He's not coming back for the Church of God. He's not coming back for Assembly of God. He's not coming back for the Baptist. He's coming back for the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is the church. And Jesus is the head. He's the high priest. Hallelujah. That's what He's coming back for. That's what we're preparing for. That's what we're working towards. And we need, at this time, our pressure cooker's percolating. It's going. It's happening all around us. If you turn on the internet or turn on the news, you'll find out. You'll find out they're already humped up their backs and going to do what they can do, and the politicians are all against it, and all this side and that side. There's no right or wrong in politics. Let me tell you, I think they're all crooked. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You disagree with me, that's all right. I think some of them don't want to get involved because they're afraid that we'll find out what they were involved in. Amen. I'm not afraid to say that. That's what I believe. Republican, Democrat, I don't care. Democrat, I'm sorry. But God is on the throne. How many believe that God's on the throne? How many believe that God's working? You said, yeah, but look, it took him 50 years. It was the time. It was the time. And when the time is ready for the church, and when the church is ready, he's coming back. There's not going to be anybody able to say, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute, give me another day. We need to be prepared, praying, seeking God, bouncing the fiery darts off our shield of faith, taking advantage of the Word in our lives, walking in the Word, believing in the Word, trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us, not only in our individual lives, but in our church. You see, I'm born again Pentecostal. It's all right. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe there's a divine gift of healing that sometimes comes on people, and they can lay hands on people and they're healed like that. None of the gifts, I'm going to say this, none of the gifts belongs to any one of us. They're only moved on in our lives by the Holy Spirit. Now, God may move upon you in the gift of healing, but that's not your gift. This is if you read the Scripture, it says the nine gifts are the gifts of the Spirit. To be moved on by the Spirit, to be regulated by the Spirit. If you give a message in tongues, it's the Spirit, and God uses you. Praise God. Be yielding to that. He said, seek the gifts. Seek the best gifts for your life. Seek them. And by that, it means you're seeking that gift to be used in your life and in the body of Christ. Why do we have the nine gifts? The nine gifts are to edify the body. None of the gifts for anything is to edify the body. To do what? To unite the body, to strengthen the body, to build the body up. That's what the gifts are for. That's why they need to be in operation. Okay, Lord, I'll shut up. How many love the Lord this morning? Yeah. How many say the prayer for Sister Halsey and them to get home safe and their kids? Remember that. Remember that. Is there anybody that needs prayer? Nobody needs prayer? I think you're right. I think we all need prayer. Yes, Scott. Any particular thing, or are you just a silent prayer to you? Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for what you're doing, and you don't have to tell us neither. because you're God, creator of all things. There's nothing in existence, hallelujah, that you don't know about. So I give you praise, and I give you glory, and I give you honor. I ask you, Lord, just to be with each person here today as we leave this your sanctuary and leave your presence is here. But, Lord, your presence goes with us. You dwell within us. Your word says we are the temple of God. And you're dwelling within us. I pray, O God, that you will speak to our hearts, that you will draw us closer to you today, this afternoon, wherever we go, whatever we do, that your presence will be in our lives, and we'll know your presence, and we'll feel your presence, and your leadership, Father. And God, we just give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, as we get prepared to leave this your sanctuary here this morning, I pray, O God, your hand upon us, upon our church, upon everybody in it, those that have not been here today. I pray, O God, that you'll speak to their hearts wherever they are. Lord, help them to get ready for the coming of your Son. Prepare us to be ready, Lord. And God, we give you praise and glory and honor as we come to you in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.